Hi, and welcome back to Organize with Grace. As always, I appreciate you for tuning in. And I love to provide you with information and resources. And I was approached by Laurel's team through Instagram. So, side note, Instagram and social media is not all bad. I've had the opportunity to meet great people in there, and I continue to do so, including Laurel Sagan. And she is with us today to talk about a book she wrote called Hoarding. It's so much more than clutter. First of all, Laurel, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Grace. Thanks.
You're welcome. And you know, Laurel, before we get started, I would love to do something real quick, just real fun, to ask you, what are you currently enjoying right now?
Like hobbies and stuff? Well, I'm
anything. Yeah.
Big camper. I love to travel and I have an RV. So I like to go traveling in my RV, camping, being out in nature or going and I like to take my own stuff and travel as well. So right now I'm really enjoying camping.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Spring's coming up. I can't wait.
I know it's so bright out there, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for us Californians, you know, we get to enjoy a good amount of that, you know, sunshine, but we also, just like everybody else, enjoy the coming of spring. So,
yeah.
Once again, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And, you know, I feel like hoarding is very sensationalized, just like everything else, right, in the media. But it's a very real issue. And I would love for you to take us through it. I have some questions to ask you, and feel free to, you know, to share your experience, to share your expertise about it. And the first thing is, please tell us about yourself and how you got into the world of real estate as it relates to hoarding situations.
Great. Well, I'm a house flipper. I started flipping back in 99. At some point I started, deciding that buying through the realtors, wasn't as as good for me as buying directly from people. You know, realtors, I don't think they were always serving people well. And the deals, it just didn't seem like, I'll tell you, like the straw that broke the camel's back for me on this one was I was going in to do my walkthrough, the final walkthrough before I go to sign the paperwork, right? And I walked in the house. The realtor had already given me the key. I walked in the house to look, and I found this older woman just weeping in the living room. And I was like, oh, my God, please sit down. What's wrong? Are you hurt? And she said, no, that the realtor had told her she needed to have everything out of the house by Friday, and she had no one to help her. And I was like, oh, my God, no. I mean, I have guys. I've got dumpsters coming. I got guys with pickup trucks. Let's figure out what you need and where you need to move it, and I'll help. And I naturally kind of tripped into hoarding as kind of one of our subsets. I have hoarding in my family. My in-laws are hoarders. My own grandmother was really estranged from my mother. And we didn't realize how bad her hoarding was. It was horrific. And when the corner cold, I went down to Southern California where she was living. And none of us had been in the house for a long time. And she had, it was horrible. And then I couldn't even go in the house because it was so bad. And this is before I was in real estate. This is in the mid 90s. Mm-hmm. So I came from that. I also have I have done some social work. And so I kind of had some empathy. And as I started working directly with sellers, a lot of times people wouldn't let me in the house right away. And I started really understanding the situation from the hoarder's point of view, right?
Yeah.
You know, people always asking me, how can it get this bad? You know, family members. And it's kind of like, you know, the old joke about how do you boil a frog, right? Just a little bit at a time, right?
Yeah.
It gets worse and worse and worse. And as you get older, you get depressed. I was actually with someone yesterday, Army vet, a psychiatric nurse in her background. And the hoard wasn't deep, but it was added to by rats. So it was horrible in there. And her clothes weren't clean. She was clinically depressed. Huge house, living by herself. I mean, it was hard. And, you know, and she is very aware. You know, she had a medical background, understood what was happening, but having no way, and then having some physical limitations from some injuries and being older. And I would say that she actually was in the beginning parts of this. And if it hadn't been for the rats, may not have been horrific as it was, but it was the beginning part, right?
Right.
And, you know, we sat down, we started talking. She had a social worker had brought me in about what is the future, right? And that's kind of what, so there's usually two or three conversations that hoarders really want you to have with them.
Okay.
And I've kind of learned how to have those conversations with people. You know, force does not work.
Right. Even in the show, you know, they want to take off. And I mean, for the rest of us, like, you know, whoever forced us to do anything that we, you know, didn't want to do and we did it anyway. No, that doesn't, right. You're right. That doesn't work that way.
So. You know, it's pretty funny because I was giving a talk at one of the residential communities here in Sacramento, and there was a mother and her daughter. Mom was probably 50 and her daughter is probably 30. And they were talking about her mother, the grandmother, trying to get the mom because the grandmother was hoarding. And the mom said, yeah, my daughter and I, we went over there. We got black bags. We got boxes. We started packing things up. We would take it to the curb and my mother would then pick it up and put it back in the house. I was so frustrated. Why wouldn't she do what I told her to do? I was like, oh right. My God, please, please. Yeah. That person's never going to trust you again. And she's an adult human being. She has the right to do this, right?
Yes.
You know, people always calling adult protective services, but as long as the person's competent, you've got to work on what's causing the hoarding. You know, why would anybody keep their trash in the house, right? What hole is it they're trying to fill?
Yeah, it really gets down to that. And that's wonderful that you have that social work background. Like you said, you have that sympathy and, you know that force is not going to work. So in your field, I guess I'm just trying to understand, like, at what point are they, would they be, say the family would be calling you if the, so
well,
how does that work?
All different points, right? All different points. When mom can't stay there anymore, right?
So got it. Okay.
Now the house is not safe, right? So a lot of times the family will call me after home health care services has said, this is too dangerous for our workers to be here, right? Or this is code enforcement gets involved, or they come home and they find this. And now the house deteriorated so bad that it's unlivable. Right.
Okay.
Rat infestations. You know, I bought one on Saturday from a family where the son was abusing alcohol and drugs and started hoarding and having rats come in the house again. He finally got sober, but he couldn't deal with the hoard. Right now, the family's got a hoard. So one of the things is we will buy the house as it is and deal with
it.
And if we can retrieve valuables and pictures for them and those kinds of keepsake things and it's safe. We'll definitely do that for them. And, you know, we work with each individual family. We'll have families clear across there. Just people are so exhausted by the time they call us usually. And again, we'd say, always say, leave what you don't want and take what you want. And we'll take care of it. And sometimes hoarders, though, they need to know their stuff is going to be taken care of. Other people don't care. But sometimes the only way to, you know, okay, look, I'm going to find a good home for all your stuff. And then we have to work with non-profits and do as much recycling as we can, or bring in another agency, like an agency that does organization and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can stay there. They just need help and we'll bring in somebody that can help. But again, and in the back of my book, I have all kinds of resources like that.
And I love it.
Yeah, you know, Robin Zazio lives in Sacramento. We're always referring her anxiety treatment center to people because, you know, we'll move people into assisted living. And then a year later, the assisted living place is dealing with their hoarding. Right? Even though they have weekly home housekeeping and stuff like that, it happens so insidiously, right? Yeah. So if you don't deal with whatever the issue is, the isolation. Now, a lot of times hoarders, they'll get into a community living situation. They'll be involved. They'll be happy and they won't hoard anymore.
Yeah.
Or they'll get the kind of help and other people, they'll still just stay in their room, you know. So again,
so that leads me to your book, and just, I love the contents in it so far. I myself am reading it as a professional organizer. I think this is a really important, you know, important topic to address. And you did address, you know, why, and you mentioned it earlier, you know, there are differing reasons why people hoard. And in general, mm-hmm. your experience is they are trying to fill something in themselves that
I tell the team we always have to be looking at what is their new bright future.
Wow, that's good. That's,
you know, if they can have a new bright future, right?
Yeah,
that they can see, you know, they don't want to be there, but they don't want anybody making them feel bad for being there, right?
Right.
So just got to remember all that. And you got to remember there are different kinds of hordes, right? I mean, animal hordes are some of the most horrific, right? Cat hordes, dog hordes.
Yeah.
Man hordes are one of the easiest to deal with, by the way. You know how you get rid of a man horde?
How?
Find another man, right? Because it's usually fools and cars and that kind of thing. I was at a senior fair and promoting the book. And one of the people who's in a picture is in here, where I talk about man hoard. It was her man that came and got the hoard from this one family. And she goes, I hate you sometimes. So he had a much more organized and, you know, he had a barn and, you know, he's using it, but she's sure that when a time comes, she's going to have to find somebody to take over the hoard.
But
I'm trying to be funny about that, but it's true. You know, there's different kinds.
Yeah. So this book, I mean, who is this book for? And earlier we talked real briefly. I said, you know, obviously you said this isn't something that you would hand over to a hoarder. So tell us, Laurel, who is this book for and why?
Okay. So I wrote the book and we give them away free, by the way. So if you go to our Facebook page or laurelbuyshouses.com, there's a link and you can get a free book. We're happy to send them out. These books are for the people around the hoarder. The family, the friends, the social workers, you know, people in the elder services area or code enforcement or, you know, people, even organizational people. We have a, you know, and we'll give you as many books as you need. Because there's lots of books talking about how not to hoard, right? Then how to organize your clutter and all that. And the reason... And this book is really Northern California centric, though I'm sure at some point somebody will want me to do something else with it, because I wanted the resources to be here. So it's really for people. And obviously, if there's a house involved and we can turn that house into the money that you need to take care of your loved one, or we can, you know, buy that house where we love to. I mean, obviously, that's what I do is I buy houses. But really, I also just wanted to have people, you know, give people a break. You know, they didn't mean for this to happen.
Yeah.
And the more older we get, the more we're, you know, I could use this.
Right.
Now, I'm married into a group of hoarders.
Oh, really?
And we have strict rules in our household here because, unfortunately, my spouse would hoard if I were not around. And, you know, if you bring something in, you got to take two things out, stuff like that. That never works. And we just once a year have a clean the garage thing. A
clean out. Yeah, that's
good. Yeah, and I worked with different decluttering people. But again, I am sure that if we became disabled, or if God forbid I wasn't around, the hoarding could get out of hand pretty darn quick, because I've seen it more than once in depression and disability. And not having the resources, or, you know, and some people hoard money, by the way. They won't spend money because they're afraid they're not going to have any. It's all about holding on to something, right?
Yeah. That fear inside, and I like that you are addressing this very holistically. Like you said, you have, you know, other, experts, you know, working with you on this, whether that the person needs, someone who can address the mental health, aspect of it, right? Is that?
And you know what? I've seen people, by the way, that where other people have moved in and done the hoarding for them, you know, like older people, somebody will move in to help, like, you know. And if you think about it, you know, who are some of the biggest hoarders in our area? It's homeless people. Have you seen homeless encampments?
Yes.
You know, it's a sign of distress. And, you know, a psychologist could tell you a lot of different causes for it. But yeah. I promise you, force is not going to be the answer for long. I mean, yes, you can force somebody to move, you know, whatever, but they're going to hoard where they are. And that's what we all have to look at, is what's causing the hoarding and how can we help alleviate that pain, usually.
Yeah. And so what encouragement would you provide for those who have a hoarder in the family, and who happens to be an elderly person?
Well, you know, again, most of the hoarding is from loneliness or obsessive circular thinking sometimes. I remember one gentleman, we bought his house, and he was saving very strange things, like Kleenex with his, you know, he had a cancer. And the doctor one time told him to save his Kleenex so he could see the spittum. But then he started saving every Kleenex. The whole house was full of Kleenexes. And, you know, then he thought, well, maybe the doctor needed to see his pee. Mm. And so he was saving little bottles of his pee, right? And he saved all other, like, little things, like, you know, just bottle tops. He saved them. And they had them in different parts of the house. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't let us in. It took me 6 months to get in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right?
Takes time.
Again, not going to get in there without his permission. And you gotta like start building a brighter future for him. What is his brighter future?
Yeah.
And that's where, again, got to remember it's a mental illness. They're not doing it on purpose. They're not trying to shame you or cause you problems, right? It's a cry for help or some kind of thinking, you know, like, you know, people who live through the depression, you know, not wanting to get rid of anything, right? Or the children of people who live through the depression, right?
Yeah. I've had a client who, after a year and a half of working with her, that finally I had a chance to, you know, there was just more trust involved. And so I had a chance to speak with her about that. And it didn't occur to her that that was a big factor and that impacted the way she treated her stuff. And she was, I believe, a year old after the end of the depression era. And right. So it was like a light bulb moment for her, but it took time.
You know, her parents probably yelled at, "Don't throw that away. We could use it."
Yep.
All the time.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and if you think back to the depression or back in those days, you know, even the homesteader farmer mentality, you never threw anything away because you could use it. Right. Well, in modern living, it gets to become a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Laurel, I really, I'm really thankful for, you know, for what you do and what you get to do for these families. And this book is so valuable. And, you know, thank you for being, you know, what motivated you to write this book? I mean, I know you touched on it, but we'd love to, you know, to hear from you about it. I'm so glad it's here, you know.
You know, I worked with a friend and rewrote a book that he had written for in another town. And I called it Your Next Move, which was about how to sell your house and move into assisted living or independent living, and like the whole situation about when you're getting older and the house is too big and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And everybody used to, you know, and I would tell stories, and I, you know, about hoarding. People always used to say, you should write a book. You should write a book. And a good friend of mine who, Linda Gilman, she's a PhD person. She said, I'll help you write the book. Let's write the book. And so I took one of the assistants that I have at work, Shasta, who you met, and Linda, and they organized it so that I could do that and still run the company and everything else. And worked on the, you know, Aaron, my other assistant, worked on the pictures and stuff. And, we wrote the book, and we decided it could be, because we do a lot of hoarding situations, thought it could be a good way to educate people and also bring in business for us. Sure. And so we're really happy to share the book with people. And like I said, I'm part of the Elder Services Network here in town. So I've given this book to a lot of senior living places for what we call, it's Cash for Care, that we have a program where we can buy the house so that people have cash for taking for their care, for their long-term care. And that's what had us write the book, is because it's really confronting, you know. Yeah. Home health, we work with a lot of home health care people. And, you know, sometimes the home is just not safe, even for, you know, a 40-year-old person to go in and take care of someone. It's just, it's not safe. So, you know, whether we get an organization, an organizing person like yourself, a decluttering place in to clean the home out, get it situated and keep them in their home, or if really what they need is more care, get them out of the home. You know, like one of the things we'll do is we'll get her moved, pay their rent for a few months in the assisted living place, then deal with the house right later. We're always happy to do that kind of thing, because it is my company. I'm pretty flexible about what we can do to help people.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Laurel. I feel more educated and knowledgeable just by speaking with you and having this book as a tool. So thank you so much. And is there anything else that you would like to, you know, to add? And how can people get in touch with you if they would like to?
So, you know, if you would like to get a book too, we're happy to do it. Laurel, L-A-U-R-E-L, buyshouses.com. Or you can call our number 916-476-2381. And ask whoever answers the phone to get you a book. Or if you have a hoarding situation and you'd like to talk to me, whoever answers the phone, or if you, there's a web form on there, you know, just tell them that you've got a hoarding situation and you'd like to get my advice. I'm happy to speak with you.
That's awesome.
Again, I come from a family of hoarding, so I understand how hard it can be. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you stories. We moved in with my in-laws at one point, so that they would go traveling and we could try to clean up the house, right? This is back in 2005, before I actually went out and learned a lot. We would clean up an area. We would go on in our RV, go camping for a while, come back, and that area would be totally full again. Wow. Right? So I understand. I really do understand. So, again, happy to help. If there's anything I can do to help a situation, please let me know. And I do know most people in town. So if really what we need is someone like Grace to come in and declutter, clean up, and manage to get things kind of situated, then, you know, do we need to get some psychological help in to help? Right. Or some social programs like Meals on Wheels or something like that to come in? I know everybody in town, so we're always happy to help with the resources too.
That's wonderful, Laurel. And I will include your information in the podcast description. So if anyone that comes across this episode, they'll be able to, you know, have your contact information. So I really appreciate you for being on the show. And I think, you know,
thanks for having the show. I didn't know about you until. And I've been going back through some of your old podcasts. I could, you know, it's really helpful. I've got a couple tips for my own self, because we got spring cleaning coming up again, because, you know, my other half is quite the hoarder, and we got to stop the action every once in a while. Declutter, stop. Right? So I got some great tips from your podcast. I appreciate that.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. That's wonderful. And this one episode, I'm excited to get it out there, because it'll be a great educational tool and an encouragement, you know, for the families that are dealing with this and for their loved ones, to help them out. So Laurel, once again, I appreciate you for being on the show, and it's been great. And we may be able to collaborate, because, you know, you and I are only like about an hour away from each other.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I was really happy to find you as a resource. So
yeah, awesome.
Absolutely. I told Shasta, make sure you got on our resources page. So
awesome, Laurel. Thank you again. And who knows, we may have you back for part two.
I can be of any service, let me know.
Before I let you go, if you felt triggered in some way with this episode about hoarding, reach out for help, because you don't have to face it alone. Whether it's a professional organizer, therapist, or support group, there are resources available to guide you through this journey with compassion and understanding. Your well-being is important, and seeking help is a courageous step toward healing.